Water is an incredible thing, isn't it? It is essential for life on this planet. Without water, we and everything around us would die. It's easy to understand our body's physical need for water. But what about our spiritual need? Each one of us has an intrinsic need for spiritual connection, refreshment, and fulfillment. Each one of us has a desperate need for the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Bible, God the Holy Spirit is described as being like water. He's the unending source of spiritual life, the fountain that flows forever from the heart of God to our own. He renews us, restores our souls. His water cleanses our hearts and fills us so that we will never thirst again. Some will ask, where can I find this water? How can I be filled with spiritual life? How do I drink from the unending spring? Open yourself to hear the words of the Holy Spirit. Expect that He will speak, and listen.
On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. After the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection, the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit came to every single person who is a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, if I were to tell you that next Sunday, Jesus Christ is going to show up, He's going to be here in person, and He's going to be here to teach us and to talk to us and to guide us, I dare say that every one of you would block off your calendar to be here. Change your vacation schedules. The place would be packed. We'd have people coming from all over the place to see Jesus. What you need to understand is that the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is already here. In fact, the Holy Spirit goes with you wherever you are. The Holy Spirit is equally God in the same way Jesus is and the Father is. That's the Trinity. And so the Holy Spirit is present with us today. Now, good morning. And those of you who are joining us at Steiner Ranch, good morning to you. And for those of you at the PM, good evening. We're glad you're here to worship with us today, and we're in this sermon series on fullness, life to the full. Most of us have gotten used to a Lake Travis in drought conditions. It's half full. We also have gotten used to half full lives where we're just kind of getting enough to get by, but not any more than that. And we understand that God's measuring cup is always full. God's all about fullness. We saw that in the first message where we looked at how God filled the earth in creation. He's about fullness, and how God fills the heavens in salvation. He's about fullness. Last week we learned that when God decided to show us who He was, He didn't just send a partial display. He sent Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, sent the full expression. Today, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and how we can be filled with the Spirit. Now, I realize that when it comes to the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of confusion out there. Like the guy who sent his 5-year-old daughter to a church on a Sunday morning, and she went, she came back, and Monday at breakfast table, they were debriefing, and he said, "Hey, did you learn anything at church?" And the 5-year-old daughter said, "Yeah, I learned how to pray." And he said, "Okay, well, why don't you pray for our meal?" And she said, "Okay, here goes, Dad. I'm going to pray now. I pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Toast." And for a lot of us, that's about all we know about the Holy Spirit, right? Tag him at the end of a phrase on the Trinity. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, I want you to know the Holy Spirit is not the force be with you. The Holy Spirit is not some kind of a supernatural cosmic power that you can kind of figure out a way to get the right formula, the right language, and tap into it, and then it's going to work on your behalf. It's kind of your genie in the bottle to work on your behalf. The Holy Spirit is actually a person, the third person of the Trinity, and because he's Spirit, he can actually be everywhere at the same time, which is really good news for us, because the Spirit doesn't come and go, the Spirit stays with us all the time. Now, as I was preparing this sermon, which is primarily on what it means to be filled with the Spirit, I recognize that there's so much about the Spirit that lots of people struggle with, so I'm going to recommend a couple books to you. The first one is by Charles Ryrie. It's called The Holy Spirit, old book. He's a theologian. It's a short theology book. It'll walk you through all the relevant biblical passages on the Holy Spirit. If you want to go into a more of a personal understanding of how this works out in your life, Chuck Swindoll wrote an excellent book called Flying Closer to the Flame by Chuck Swindoll. Really encourage these two books very highly. Now, I also want to just remind you that every time you come to Hill Country Bible Church, you actually need two things. The first thing you need is a Bible, because we are going to study the Bible. And so if you have a Bible or you have access to it through an electronic device, it's important that you're actually looking at the words of Scripture, because that's what I'm teaching from, and you'll be able to follow along and then go back and study that on your own. Very important. The second thing you need is the ability to take notes. Now, if you walked in as a visitor today and you thought to yourself, man, I'm coming in for a 15-minute inspirational talk that's going to charge me up and send me out during the week and I'll just be all motivated and I'll feel good, that's not really who we are, okay? Here, we study the Bible to learn the truth, and there's going to be so much that I'm going to unpack for you that if you don't take notes and write some stuff down, you're going to miss out on a lot of what I'm teaching today. Now, I know some of you guys think that the little fill-in-the-blank outlines that we give you, well, that's an old baby boomer thing. For some reason, they like to fill in blanks, and so that's kind of who they are. And I'm a younger person, and I don't fill in blanks. Yeah, and you don't learn much either, right? So the classes you did well in college were the ones you actually took notes in, kept up with, looked at, studied. And so we don't like to fill in blanks just to fill in blanks. We like to fill in blanks so you'll actually get your pen out. Or go online, you can download the sermon online and take notes on your pad. But there's going to be a whole lot of information here. You're going to want to get it all. So we're going to spend some time diving in here. The first thing that I want you to see from the Bible is this. The Bible teaches that all believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. All believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Now, let me show you in the Bible where it says that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul writes, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" In other words, your physical body is the place that houses the eternal Spirit of God, and God is with you and he's in you at all times. There's never a time when the Holy Spirit leaves you, goes away, disappears. The Holy Spirit is permanently with you. Look at this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. At the moment of salvation, every single believer is baptized into the larger body of Christ, the church, by the Spirit himself, and we've been made to drink of the same Spirit, no matter what our socioeconomic background is, no matter what our standing is, no matter what our gender is, no matter what our ethnic background is. We all, if you put your trust in Jesus, the Spirit is the one who inhabits you. He's with you all the time. He never leaves you. At day or night, ever, as a believer, until you stand in the presence of Jesus Christ someday in heaven. Having said that, I want to also point out that there is a difference between the indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. Here's the principle. All believers are called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All believers are called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So grab your Bibles and open them to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and we are going to dig into this verse. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul writes this. He says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." So what Paul is talking about here is the issue of people drinking to the point where they get drunk. And he says, do not get drunk with wine, because that leads to debauchery, literally to wastefulness, wantonness. Bad things happen when people get drunk, okay? Too many parties get ruined when people get drunk. Too many bad things happen when people get drunk. So, but that's not his primary issue. He's using that to point to the positive. Instead, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, in order to understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit, we have to look at the analogy he uses to help us. So what happens to people when they've had too much to drink? We say they come under the influence of alcohol, right? They come under the influence of alcohol. Some people would say, well, they get out of control. When people get drunk, they're just out of control, which has led to an interesting interpretation of the filling of the Spirit. Some people interpret the filling of the Spirit is that in the same way that people get out of control when they drink, when they're filled with the Spirit, they get out of control in a good way. And so the more out of control you are when you're in a worship setting, therefore the more filled with the Spirit you are. And some of y'all have been in worship contexts before where people get kind of crazy, start making all kinds of noises and dancing and jumping around, and lots of interesting things can happen. Actually, that's not what this passage is teaching. What this passage is teaching is not that you're out of control with the Spirit, but that you're under the control of the Spirit. In other words, when you have enough alcohol in your body flowing through your veins, affecting your brain, the alcohol alters your judgment, your words, your behavior, your actions. Not everybody gets out of control. If you're over 50, probably after your second glass of wine, you conk out, right? But you actually feel the fatigue because of the depressive nature of the alcohol or whatever happens. Things change if you have too much alcohol in your system, and they don't change in a positive way. On the flip side of that, things change when you are filled with the Spirit. The Spirit begins to take over, and your talk reflects the Spirit. Your decisions reflect the Spirit. Your priorities reflect the Spirit. Your actual personhood begins to be shaped in holy ways when you're filled with the Spirit. The Spirit actually takes control. Now, the difference between these two, between the filling of the Spirit and the indwelling of the Spirit, it can be illustrated here by a package of Alka-Seltzer. So if I drop this Alka-Seltzer in the water, it's in the water, right? Clearly in the water. Or I drop this Alka-Seltzer in the water, if I don't miss. If I drop the Alka-Seltzer in the water, now as this gets going, you look carefully at the two and you see a marked difference between the two, right? They both have the Alka-Seltzer in the water. It's clearly in the water. But one of them is being affected. It's actually being shaped. It's being changed. The dynamics of the water are different. Every single believer has the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That's not going to change. But we are commanded in Scripture to actually be filled with the Spirit, come under the influence of the Spirit, be controlled by the Spirit, and you can see the dynamic difference between the two. Very clearly different between the two. So, I want to take this one verb, be filled, and I want to unpackage this one verb for you, and I'm going to take you down into the grammar just a little bit, and some of you guys are saying, grammar in church? Awesome! Like, nobody ever talks about grammar in church. Well, we're going to talk about grammar in church. Some of you are dying, but anyway, here we go. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Four observations of this particular verb in Scripture. The first one is, it's imperative. It's imperative. The verb here is a command. The verb here is a command. It's not optional. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, in the same way that you're commanded to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbors yourself, not to commit adultery, not to commit murder, all of the commands of Scripture, love one another, those commands, this is also a command. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, if we're not filled with the Spirit, we are disobedient to Jesus Christ. And it makes all the difference in the world. You can jump out of a plane with a parachute on your back, but the instructor commands you before you jump, grab a hold of the ripcord, count to however many you're daredevil to do, and then pull that ripcord. Now, both people have the parachute on their back, but they have a very different landing, whether the parachute's controlling their descent or whether they are controlling their descent. Okay? So we are commanded, it's an imperative, to be filled with the Spirit. The second thing that this particular verb tells us is the filling of the Spirit is universal. It's universal. The verb here is plural. In other words, it's not saying, hey, listen, Joe, you be filled with the Spirit. Hey, listen, Sally, you be filled with the Spirit. Well, it's actually a kind of a Texan verb. It says y'all. Like y'all be filled with the Spirit. Some people have this idea that there are only special people that get filled with the Spirit and that you're not one of them. You know, people that are really holy and righteous, people that have a double portion, people that get called into missions work or something like that. You get the Spirit, but the rest of us, we don't get it. And this passage is actually saying all of y'all, every one of you, follow the command to be filled with the Spirit. It's universal. It's for all of us. The third thing that we see in this one verb is this one verb tells us that this is actually the Spirit's work. It is actually the Spirit's work. Okay, here we go. This verb is in the passive voice. Now, if it were in the middle voice is the subject, is acting on behalf of itself or acting for itself. If it was in the middle voice, it would literally be saying, you fill yourself up with the Spirit. But this verb is not in the middle voice. It's actually in the passive voice. In the passive voice, the subject is being acted upon. Some of you are going, whoa, that's unbelievable. Somebody is speaking grammatically. Yeah, that's right. About three of you are thinking that. What this verse is literally saying, this is very important to get, is not you go get yourself filled up, but it's saying let the Spirit fill you. Now you scratch your head and you go, well, how can I be commanded to be filled by the Spirit, but the Spirit is the one that does the work, the Spirit is the one that does the filling? Aha, you figured it out, right? This is about allowing the Spirit to do the work that the Spirit already intends to do, or blocking the work that the Spirit intends to do. Now, I want to illustrate this to you really clearly because I think a lot of times we get confused as to how do we live the Christian life? How do we live out these commands? So I'm going to ask my lovely assistant, Bruce Simsek, to come up here and help me with this. Bruce is part of the volunteer tech team. We got a whole bunch of these people that make everything run really well. And so, Bruce, appreciate you helping me out here. Bruce is going to blow up a balloon. Now, what Bruce told me is that he doesn't actually know that much about blowing up balloons. He's a Longhorn. And so he had to ask his Aggie daughter. Because evidently they have a class at A&M in blowing up balloons, right? So anyway, Bruce doesn't have much hot air. We have this issue. And so what is in that balloon, right, is the air that came from Bruce. This is his air. So when Bruce wants that balloon to gain heights, what does he have to do to get it up there? And what happens? It keeps coming back down, right? And that's not uncommon. We wake up on a Monday morning and we say, hey, today I'm going to love my spouse. I'm going to have a better attitude at work. I'm not going to go with the crowd that gets me in trouble. And we say, today I'm going to do the right thing. And we puff ourselves up and we've got the best intentions and we've got our plan and we get out there and that goes well for an hour, sometimes a half a day, sometimes a day, but we keep falling down, don't we? We try and we keep falling down. And so maybe we're going to have to hit it harder. Like maybe you can keep it up if you try harder or if you hit harder. I don't hit any better than you do. And so, like, that's what we do. You know, that's what we do. We're working with what we have within us to try to keep our lives full, moving in the right direction. Maybe what we actually need is something different inside. Maybe we need to be filled with something of a supernatural nature that will do something entirely different than what we expect. And so Bruce has now filled the balloon, not with the hot air from inside, but from something that came out of that little pink thing. I'm sorry, Holy Spirit, I didn't mean to represent you that way. And what happens? Like, it stays up, right? I want you to feel this because I think we wrestle with this. Thanks, Bruce. I think we wrestle with this. I think there are a lot of well-meaning, well-intentioned Christians that with all sincerity are doing their best to try every day to do the right thing. And we've got plans, and we get accountability partners, and we go to groups, and we study, and we learn, and we say, God, I want to do my very best today. And yet, day after day after day, we just keep having to hit it harder to make it work. That's what sanctification, working in the flesh, will always do for us. The issue is, am I filled with something different than what's inside of me naturally? I need an infusion of power from the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is always acting, like today, at this moment, while you're sitting there, the Holy Spirit is doing his work to fill you, why are we not filled? The reason why we're not filled is because we actually do things to block the work of the Holy Spirit. Two things in Scripture. The first one, Scripture says that we quench the Spirit. We pour cold water on the Spirit's fire. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Every day as a believer, the Holy Spirit is kindling in you the power of God, the fire of the Spirit. Every day he's doing that. You say, well, what does that look like in real life? Well, when you go back and study the passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, do not despise prophetic utterance. In other words, we put out the Spirit's fire when the Spirit is speaking to us and we shush him. How do you like to be shushed? Trying to talk and someone says, shh. All day long, that goes on, where we shush the Spirit. The Spirit begins to talk to us. And you guys know what those promptings are like, because if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, if you are a believer, you've heard the Spirit prompting you. The Spirit prompting you, don't give up on that person. You're in the middle of an argument, and the Spirit says, this is a waste of time, you're wrong anyway. Let it go, apologize. What do you do at that moment? You shush the Spirit? You should not be dating that person. You shush the Spirit? You wake up in the morning and the Spirit says, read your Bible and pray, get the day started right. And you say what? You say, well, Spirit, you have no idea what I have going on today. So the omnipresent, omniscient God of the universe that knows everything knows less about what you've got on your priority list for today than you do. But you shush the Spirit. Oh, Spirit, you don't understand. I don't have time for that. The inner promptings of the Spirit that constantly are speaking to us, we, when we say no, when we say be quiet, when we say shh, what we're doing is we're actually pouring water on the Spirit's fire inside of us. Ken Sandy tells this very interesting story about a day he was out jogging, and he happened to notice that there was a blind woman coming down the sidewalk with her seeing eye dog leading the way. And it was interesting to him because as the seeing eye dog was leading her down the sidewalk, he noticed that there was a car parked in a driveway blocking the sidewalk, and sure enough, as they approached the car, the seeing eye dog began to nudge her leg to try to redirect her around the car. Well, she was annoyed by this, and it seemed like maybe she'd traveled the path before, knew this wasn't the place to turn or something. But anyway, she ordered the dog to go straight ahead. And as she ordered the dog to go straight ahead, it again very gently put its shoulder into her leg and began to push her in a direction. And this time she got angry and she kicked the dog. And instinctively, she just took one big step forward and stepped right into the car. She put her hands out, felt around, realized what was going on, that this was a car parked right in the sidewalk, and immediately she broke down, hugged the dog, started apologizing to her dog. But I wonder how many times we do that to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows where we're going. He knows what's in front of us. He knows what we need to be on. And how many times do we say, shh, I got this? Being filled with the Spirit is listening to Him and letting Him guide us. Second thing that we do, in addition to quench the Spirit, is we have a tendency to grieve the Spirit as well. Look at Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit according to this passage? We grieve the Holy Spirit when we live in sin. That whole chapter 4 talks about living in sin. And it actually really hurts. Like the Holy Spirit is deeply saddened when we reject the righteousness that God has for us and we live lives that are self-centered, prideful, hurtful, sinful, lustful when we do that. Now, I think it's really important to understand that the Holy Spirit loves you. Just like Jesus loves you and died on the cross to pay for your sins, the Holy Spirit loves you and wants what's best for you. And so when we don't do what we should, when we do the wrong things, it literally hurts the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit knows what's best. There's something else that's very important here too. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. It's the Holy Spirit's job to carry you from the day you get saved until the day you stand in the presence of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit knows when you stand in the presence of Jesus, at the judgment seat of Christ, and you give an account for what you did with your life after you became a believer. The Holy Spirit knows that every wasted day that was wasted in selfish pursuits is going to be a day that you will be sorry for when you stand in the presence of Jesus and in His glory. And since the Holy Spirit is the one who's responsible to deliver you to the day of redemption, to bring you through life, to get you there, that's His work. He sealed you for that day. He doesn't want to stand there with you and watch you brokenhearted over wasting your life. And so the Holy Spirit grieves. And so when we choose to do things that are not pleasing to God, and we choose to do things that are self-oriented, what we do at that time is we actually shut down or stop the filling of the Spirit in our lives. We stop the filling of the Spirit in our lives. There's one more idea that comes right out of this verb that's a very important idea to get, and that is this. This is also ongoing. The filling of the Spirit is ongoing. So the actual verb here is in the present tense. A present tense verb is continuous action. So there's not a point in time where you go to a camp or a retreat or a discovery event or some kind of thing in a worship service or whatever, when at one point in time you say, God, fill me, fill me, fill me. And as good as those things are, as helpful as they are, fill me, fill me, fill me. And then from that point forward, I'm filled for the rest of my life. That's not how it works. This says, be filled, keep being filled, be filled on an ongoing basis. In other words, the filling of the Spirit happens day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, as we walk with the Spirit. Now, there are two metaphors in Scripture that I think help us understand how to do this. The first one is when Jesus calls the Spirit the paraclete, the parakletos, the paraclete, the word that means to come along beside. Now, we've all witnessed this at some point along the way. Watching a sporting event, someone goes down, knee, ankle, some kind of an injury, and somebody from the sidelines runs over and grabs them, puts their arm around their waist, person puts their hand over their shoulder, and the two of them, working and walking as one human, one person, walk off the field together. Scripture says that that's what the Holy Spirit is to us. When we walk the Christian walk, when we live the Christian life, we're told to keep in step with the Spirit, walk by the power of the Spirit. In other words, every single day, you are moving through life, moving through your day, every step you take. It's Spirit, lead me, go with me, guide me, speak into me, open my eyes, show me what you're showing me. And that happens on a minute-by-minute basis. It's like this. You can view the Holy Spirit as that small, worn-out tube of sunscreen that's in your travel bag. That if you ever get time on a business trip to get out in the sun, you may dig around and look for that sunscreen to put it on. But most of the time, it's a forgotten item in your travel bag. Or you can view the Holy Spirit as your traveling companion that sits next to you in the seat on the plane, that eats with you, that is there with you during the meeting, after the meeting, during the day, wherever you're going and interacting and talking and you're enjoying his company and you're working together and you're working out your life with the Spirit working in you. That's walking in the Spirit. And so today, as you take steps, as you walk, ask yourself, am I consciously aware that the Spirit is with me right now? And what's he trying to show me, teach me, tell me, help me with? Second image is the Spirit is pictured as wind in Scripture, or breath, ruach, the breath. And so I love the image that Bill and Vonette Bright, the founders of Campus Crusade, came up with. They called it spiritual breathing. It goes like this. Every single day, as I'm breathing air in and blowing air out, that is a good reminder of being filled with the Spirit. And so every breath I blow out, I'm blowing out me, my priorities, my thoughts, my ideas, my plans, my sin. I'm breathing that out. I'm confessing. God, I'm letting go of me. And every time I breathe in, I'm taking in the Spirit. And what's cool about this is that you can be going through the day and be completely thinking about nothing related to the Spirit, completely operating on your own. And at any moment, you can just stop and go, whoa, wait a minute. Exhale. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You don't have to wait and show up for church the next week. Like, you don't have to go through a whole bunch of confession and so forth. You just, in that moment, say, okay, that's it. I got rid of me. Fill me, Spirit. Now open my eyes. Let me see the supernatural realities around me. What am I missing? And now you're immediately tuned into the Spirit, walking with the Spirit. Remember, the Spirit is the fire. The Spirit is the Word. The Spirit is the water welling up inside of us. The Spirit is always filling. And when we stop quenching, we can start moving forward in the Spirit. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal thing that God has done for us. And so, having said that, there is a different way of living. Different way of living. So, he says in verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. That's things that don't really help. They're not good things. Instead, he says, be filled with the Spirit. And here's what will happen. When we're filled with the Spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit will create a dynamic change within us. We're going to be different. We're going to feel a change. Something's going to happen. And it happens in all believers who are walking in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, living out the Spirit's life. Look at what it says. It says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We actually, as believers, come alive. We come alive when we're filled with the Spirit. And watch how we come alive. He says, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When you're walking in the Spirit, what's going to happen to you is the words that come out of your mouth are going to be healing words. They're going to be helping words. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, things that build people up, that encourage people, that heal their soul. Your actual words, your vocabulary, your conversation will change and your relationships will change with it. He also says that there's going to be a new melody in our hearts. Look at what he says in the latter half of verse 19. He says, sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. I wonder today, what is the melody of your heart? If we were to bring you up here and hook you up and just let your heart play, what melody would it play? Would it play a melody of dissatisfaction and frustration, anger or hostility, fear? Would it play a melody of self-indulgence and self-centeredness or narcissism? What melody would your heart play? When you're filled with the Spirit, the song of your heart will be a song of worship. We could put the electrodes on you anytime during the day or night, and what would be just flowing out of you would be worship, a satisfaction that runs beyond compare. He goes on to say in verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, because of the gospel, what Jesus has done for us on our behalf, we know that Jesus is never going to drop us, never going to let us down. So whatever's coming at us in life, we give thanks for that. We have grateful hearts. The life that we live is not a life of striving and trying to get more and experience more and frustration when our expectations don't, our experience doesn't live up to our expectations. We actually get to the place where we're thankful, grateful people. Hearts of contentment and love. And finally, he says in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We begin to have the kind of attitude where we actually can be under submission in relationships. We don't always have to have our way. And then he goes on to talk about how husband-wife's relationship, when filled with the Spirit, creates a dynamic love between a man and a woman. That parent-child relationships just come incredibly good, beneficial when people are walking in the Spirit. That people, employers, employees, man, when we're walking in the Spirit, things go well at work. This is the world of supernatural work when the Spirit is working in us. It changes us. It changes our priorities, our personality. It changes the tone of our conversation, the outlook, the passions of our heart. It begins to turn us into a person that the supernatural dynamic of God actually begins to take over. In keeping our same personality and our passions in wiring, we become like Jesus. There's one more that's not on the list here in Ephesians 4, and that's in Acts 1:8, that we're going to become witnesses, that we will begin to share the good news of the gospel. The power of God, the filling of the Spirit, makes us live on mission. And it doesn't make us live on mission in some weird way. When the prompting of the Holy Spirit prompts us to lean into a conversation, we do it. And we watch what God does in us through that. I want you to know that God loves you so much that He has not left you on your own. God, the Holy Spirit, is with you every moment. And you can experience His fullness today. You can. You can. In fact, that's normal. That's the way God designed this. That's the way we could and should live. So here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Over the next 7 days, just 7 days, commit to this. That when you're walking, you try to call to mind, okay, Holy Spirit's walking with me. What's He saying? What's He doing? What do I need to hear from Him? When you're breathing, you just keep getting rid of yourself, exhaling me, getting rid of me, getting rid of me, inhaling Him. I want you, I want you, I want you. Show me, teach me, speak to me. And what you're going to discover over the next 7 days is you're going to see God work in you in phenomenal ways. They may be quiet, but they will be from Him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, I just want to praise You that You have given us Your fullness. You sent Your Son Jesus to give us life. You sent Your Holy Spirit to give us a day-by-day experience of Your power and Your holiness. And Father, someday You're going to call us to be with You. And until then, my prayer for each of us is that we would take full advantage of what You've put before us, that we would experience Your Spirit in full measure. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.